We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 first. And what we're going to look at tonight is how that Jesus wants us to come to Him. How that He is there, and He's there for our help. He's there with the very little concerns that we have, with the major concerns that we have. There's nothing too small that you can take to God. There's nothing too great that you can take to God. Because you got to figure it this way. He spoke this world into existence, and so those little itty-bitty things that bother you, He can take care of those. And those major things that are coming against you, He can take care of those too. It's by the word of His mouth, He spoke the world into existence. He created light, He created darkness, He created the sea, the dry ground, all the fishes in the sea, all the animals that we see, and man He created, and woman He created, yet He can't handle the situation that I'm facing. And if we're not careful, there's times when we feel all alone. We feel like nobody understands. Nobody gets it. Nobody knows quite what I'm going through. And we have a tendency to think whatever we're going through, nobody ever went through what I'm going through. This is a different situation that I'm facing. The circumstances might be a little different, but the situations are the same. The attacks of the enemy are the same upon people around the world and from country to country. It's not just here in America that we're attacked by the enemy the way that we are. He attacks people in third world countries and other countries of the world the same that he attacks you and me. And there's one thing that the enemy, one of the tactics that he wants to use against people, and if we're not careful, he'll use it against you, he'll use it against me. He wants you to feel like you are all alone, that nobody understands, nobody gets it. I'm facing this life alone. I'm carrying this heavy load alone. Nobody can understand it. I can try to explain it to them. I can't even use the proper words to explain how I feel, but they're just not going to get it. They're not going to understand. But 1 Peter 5, 7, it's one of us that a lot of us have memorized by heart. It says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants us to cast our cares upon Him. When you're misunderstood, He wants us to tell Him about it. Well, why do I have to tell Him about it? He's God. He's Jesus. He sees all things. He sees how people are treating me. Yet He wants us to express our feelings to Him. He can look, you can look at your child, and your child don't have to say anything to you, but just by the expressions upon their faces, you know if they've been hurt by words that perhaps you said to them, or somebody else said something to them and it hurt them. They don't necessarily have to come to you and say, you know what so-and-so said, or what you said to me, that really hurt me, that really made me feel bad. You can tell by the expression on their face. But yet if they come to you and say, you know what you said to me, maybe I misunderstood it, but that hurt me. Or you can say whatever somebody else had said to you, that hurt me. I'm just having a struggle with the way they said something to me. And God appreciates that when we express that to Him. And we as parents would appreciate that if our children would express their thoughts to us in plain words. Not just beat around the bush. Well, Mom, Dad, you know, you understand what I'm going through. No, I don't know. I don't understand what you're going through. You know, I'm a black and white person. I just need you to tell me about it. And we have that song that we used to sing. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Amen. Tell them all about it. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. And it goes on and has some good words to it. You can just tell him all about it. Well, he don't want to be told about that. He don't want to know that it's bothering me that my neighbor's infringing on my property line, or somebody cut me off in traffic, or somebody's got it out for me. My goodness, God has bigger things to worry about. Well, right there's where the mistake is, because God's not worried about anything. God has everything under His control. Even in this world, things that are the way that they are right now, it's in God's complete control. Amen. It's not out of God's control. He's not sitting up there on His throne, wringing His hands and running His hands through His hair, if we could envision it that way, and wringing His fingers and just pacing back and forth. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Situation in the world is so far out of control. It's almost like He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got everything under his control. And it comes down to your own personal lives. We can look at the world and say the world's out of control, but there's a lot of people in their own personal lives, things seem to be out of control. And when things seem to be out of control, what is that? That is upsetting to us. Because we're a kind of people that like to have things controlled. We like to have predictable things that are going to happen. And things are going in such a way, in a fashion. But when things are out of our control, nobody's comfortable with that. You would be a very rare person if you were comfortable to be in an uncontrolled situation. We like to control things. But the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for you. Well, He knows. Yeah, but He wants us to tell Him, Lord, this is bothering me. This is a care. This is a worry that I have. It could be children in your family. It could be situations in your family. It could be situations at work and different things that we face in life that's just bothering me. It could be something as simple as it. If it's bothering you, it's not that simple. But it could be something as simple as in Pennsylvania here in the last week or so, gasoline went up 6 cents a gallon. And you find that concerning, and the prices of everything else is going up, and you find it concerning, and you think, what can I do? We can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us.
Yes.
God, you see the situation, you know the outcome, you know where this is going, and I put it into your hands, God, I'm trusting you. And we can do that with the confidence in our heart that everything is going to be okay. And in my own personal circumstances throughout life, the employment that I had at places, in ministry and missions for some years, and then back in the employment field again, and that place shut down. The jobs went to a foreign country, and there was different things available to try to help me out to get through that. But I always kept my chin up. I always kept my head held high. I always stayed positive because I knew that it was in God's hand and God was going to take care of me, and He did, and He supplied every single time. Amen. If the job or the situation that you have right now isn't there next week or tomorrow or next year, God's got something else in store for you. It's not the end of the world if things stop going. As you know that right now, we have the jobs and different ones here, the different jobs they have. You count on those jobs. We need those jobs to survive. But if that job ceases to exist, God's got something else in store. Amen. We've got to cast those cares upon Him. And when things bother us, take it to the Lord in prayer, say, and you can talk to Him like you can a friend. Jesus, this is really bothering me. Sometimes we let things bother us so much that we can end up losing sleep over them. God doesn't want you to lose sleep over situations that you're facing in your life. And then we look over in Luke chapter 4 and 18, and this is why Jesus came. And this is where He went to he was teaching in Nazareth, and He went into the temple on the day of the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read, and they gave Him the book because it was customary to hand the book to somebody, the scripture, and they would choose something to read in there. And this is what Jesus stood up and read, but this is the reason that He came. And there's been a time in all of our lives where we've needed one of these things here that Jesus came to help us with. And it says it this way, Luke 4:18. Jesus was speaking of Himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What has God anointed you to do? He anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. He may anoint you for another thing or another situation, but He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." To heal the brokenhearted. You can be one that goes out there and you can be anointed by God to heal the brokenhearted. But the angle that we're looking at this tonight, Jesus is the one that came to preach to the poor, and thank God He came to preach to the poor, because here we're all poor. We might think we're doing okay, but we're poor in the eyes of this world. He came to preach to us, and He came to heal the brokenhearted. So if He came to heal the brokenhearted, that tells me at times there are brokenhearted people. That at times could also indicate and mean that at times our hearts are going to be broken. We just don't know which direction to go, where to turn, what to do. We've come to our wits' end. And the scripture said, Jesus said, that He came to heal the brokenhearted. God God, I've come to my wit's end. I'm up against the wall. My heart's just broken. My hope was set in this thing or in this person or in this job or whatever it was. And that just came to naught. It came to nothing. And now my heart is broken. It's like my life is ended. It's almost like I don't have a reason to keep living. And Jesus said, He came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And He was anointed to do that. And to preach deliverance to the captives, those that are in bondages. Some people need deliverance from worry and fear. Worry and fear. He came. It says it this way right here. To preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. Some people are captive to fears and to worries. And if you have that worry spirit, a fearful spirit within you, Jesus came to set you free. Amen. You're captive to it. And if you're captive to anything in your life, anything is controlling you instead of you controlling it. Jesus came, and it says it this way. Let's read what it says. Deliverance to the captive. Where we believe in a deliverance ministry. Jesus is one that delivers and sets free. Well, I guess this is just my cross to carry in life. I'm just going to be stuck with this bad habit in all life. All my life, there's no hope for me. Jesus came to set the captive free. Amen. Those things that captivate you, that hold you in bondage, that hold you down. It could be habits. It could be worry. It could be fear. And there's other vices and things in this world that can get a hold of us that we're just captive to those things. Jesus came to set us free. Yes. You could be captive to wanting to work all the time. God don't want us to work all the time. Amen. There's life outside of work. He wants you to take time to worship Him. Amen. We can become captive to many things, but Jesus said He came to set the captive free, to bring deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Them that are bruised. And what that means is to set at liberty them that are oppressed. And if nothing else, Satan surely has tried this on all of us at one time or another in our life. And what's that? He has tried to oppress us. What's that talking about? We just feel the pressure of things. We just feel pressured. We just feel pressured. We're not depressed, but we're oppressed. And if you get oppressed enough, you can head into a depression. I'm just oppressed. This is just pressing against me and pressing against me. Well, Jesus says He come to set at liberty them that are oppressed. Amen. Them that are bruised are those that are oppressed. And I'm oppressed because of situations in my life. Sometimes we loosely use the word depressed, but in reality, the true interpretation of it, there's probably not too many of us in here that ever really experienced true depression. We have felt the oppression of the enemy, but depression is a terrible thing. But the oppression of the enemy, the depression that comes, Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that are oppressed. He's there to help us and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so then the question would come up, well, Pastor, you're saying all those things, it sounds good and wonderful, but it's not working too good in my life the way that you're making it sound. Well, sometimes there's a reason that it's not working for me. There's a reason that it's not working for you. And we're going to find the answer in that over in Matthew chapter 11. And this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 11. Many times we don't get the help that we need from God because we don't do what this verse says right here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We don't do that. We hear that, but we don't come unto Him. And so we're going to look at this a little bit tonight, these next three verses here. We're going to look at these because God, the help is available for us, but we have to go to God. He says, come unto me. And the meaning of that come there means, it means to come at once. It means to come now. When you're feeling oppressed, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling the pressures of life coming on, you feel like you're going to lose it, you feel like you're going to crack up, you feel like you're getting near to what your breaking point is, and we all should know what our breaking point is. Those triggers, those things that set us off, and we feel like we're going to lose it, and sometimes we do. We go right over the edge and we lose it. But instead of doing that, when we feel that way, we need to come on to me. We need to go on to Jesus. And He's saying, come to me now. Come to me now. Don't wait till you're in a desperate situation. When you feel the heat starting to be turned up against you, come to me. And the likening, we could use the analogy, we could use of that. If there was someone that was bullying one of your kids and they never come and told you, and it started out as a small thing and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until your kid lost it and, you know, tore into the other kid and then got the tension at school and things didn't turn out so well, you would have appreciated it more if when that thing was starting, if your child would come on to you, come now, tell me all about it. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about it. He will hear our faintest cry, the song says. He will answer by and by. And there lies the problem sometimes, because we want God to answer us right now. But that says, come on to me, that means we come at once. That means we come now. And so when Jesus was here in his life, he lived upon this earth, they believe it was close to 33 and a half years total. About 3.5 years was the ministry that he had, as we have recorded in the Gospels. But the kind of people that gathered around Jesus were the struggling people. They were the poor people. They were the needy people. They were the sick people. They were constantly brought to Jesus. All of these ones that had burdens, all of these ones that had sicknesses, these ones that were taken into sin, those were the kind of people that came to Jesus. The needy came to him. Those were the kind of people that gathered around Jesus. They were constantly brought to Jesus. Those that were weighed down in sin, that woman that was caught in the very act of idolatry, they brought her and threw her at the feet of Jesus and said, hey, Moses in the law says this woman ought to be stoned. Jesus didn't argue with them, because that's what the law said, but Jesus settled that situation too. Amen. Those were weighed down with sin. How about when he met the woman at the well? He was weary in his body. He was physically tired out, and he stopped at that well, and he was a Jew, and he shouldn't by custom have even been in Samaria like he was going near that city. That was against the protocol. You didn't do that. But he was so weary, and maybe he didn't want to go. The Bible does say he had needs be that he needed to go through Samaria, and so we can say he knew he was going to meet the woman, but perhaps they went that way because he was already so tired out. And if I'm not mistaken, my memory serves me right, if they were going to avoid Samaria, they had to go like 17 miles out of their way to avoid that city, because they would become corrupted and unclean if they had any dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus went down there and he met that woman who had had 5 husbands, and the man that she was living now wasn't even her husband. And Jesus talked to her and ministered salvation unto her. And when she got her deliverance, she went back into town and she said in so many words, come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did. This has to be the Savior. This has to be the Christ, the Son of God. And so why was Jesus doing that? Why did people like this come around to Jesus? Because they were drawn to Jesus. They were weighed down. They were drawn to him. What kind of people come around you? Oh, they're just coming because they're looking for a handout. Be careful that they're not coming around you because they sense this Jesus that's within you. They know that you have some hope and help to offer them, and they're drawn to you. And what kind of people? The poor and the needy, the suffering. Amen. Those that are weighed down with sin, they might strike out against you, but they're coming to you because they're looking for help. And so these people came to Jesus because they were weighed down. And so come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so when we're weighed down, we need to go to Jesus. We sing that song, oh, leave it there. It's an old song, oh, leave it there. We don't sing these old ones too much anymore. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And it goes on and on. But we don't do that. We think, well, God sees, God knows, and he understands. God knew all of the needs that were going on around him. Jesus did when he was here. But yet those people sought Jesus out. They came to him. Amen. The man that was healed, his friends brought him to Jesus. And they got to the place where he was, and they couldn't quite get to them. So they had to go roof of the house and cut a hole in the roof and lowered this man down through the roof, and it dropped him down right in front of Jesus. Amen. They were drawn to Jesus because they have need. And we as believers, when we have needs within our life and within our heart, there should be something within our spirit that we're drawn to God. We might not fully understand it, but I just feel that another song we sing. I feel my need, dear Lord, of a closer walk with thee. I feel my need, dear Lord. But it goes on, I know I'm messing the words up, but amen. But we feel that need down in our heart and in our soul. But that's why they came to Jesus. And I believe, amen, that we can miss it at times. And that's why people will come to you, the poor, the needy, the struggling, those it seems like they want, they want, and they want. Look, they're not trying to take advantage of you. They're looking for help. Amen. When people go to Jesus, he doesn't look at it like, well, they're trying to take advantage of me. I'm only good whenever they're in need. He doesn't look at it that way. Because we read that other scripture that he came to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. So people will be drawn to you also. But the secret is, you have to come. You have to come. Why would we carry the loads around? There was a little reel on Facebook that I watched yesterday. I just watched a little bit of it. And it was a preacher or a teacher. And he was given an object lesson. And he had like four or five garbage bags, the big black ones. And he had the ends of them tied together. And he had them filled with things. And he had one on this shoulder and one on this shoulder. And he says, this is how many believers come into the house of God. This is how many believers come into the house of God. They themselves are carrying all the weights. They're carrying all the loads. And he went on to say, it's not easy to carry all that weight. It's not easy to carry that load. But we do the same thing. We don't like to look at it as a garbage bag, but we're going around and we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, at least the weight of our world that we live in, up on our shoulders, and we're going to collapse under the load. Yes, you're going to collapse under the load, and you don't have to collapse under that load, but you need to come to Jesus. And you need to say, Jesus, help me now. I'm sorry that I'm trying to carry this all myself. You are there to help me. And in verse 29, first we have to come unto him, and then here it says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. Take my yoke upon you. So what is a yoke? Brother Eric has a yoke hanging in his house on the wall, and some of us older ones might understand it, but it's a piece of wood, and you're able to attach that to two animals. You have one here, and you have one over here, and those animals work in unison, and they're able to get the job done. And so when you look at the yoke, it indicated, back in the Bible days, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said this, but the yoke indicated bondage and slavery. So why would I want to take Jesus' yoke upon me? Because it says, take my yoke upon you. You know what? You have a yoke on you today. Everybody has a yoke on them today. And the yoke is the yoke that this world puts on you, the heaviness, the cares of life, all of these things that pull us down. Or we can take the yoke of Jesus upon us. And Jesus says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The yoke that many people are carrying. There's a lot of yokes that you could carry around. But Jesus wants us to cast these things upon him. And here's a yoke that a lot of people are carrying around. But Pastor, you don't understand my past. You don't know the kind of life that I lived. You don't know how bad I really was. And we just carry our past with us. We carry our past failures, where we fell short, where we really hurt somebody. And we truly did. And we did a lot of things that were just really bad things. And we just can't get over that. We're just stuck on it. And if there's anybody that could have been stuck on their past, that would have been the Apostle Paul. Amen. In the early part of the book of Acts in chapter 3, when he was going out and Stephen was stoned, and then Paul became a persecutor of the church, or Saul. And then he had that encounter with Jesus. He had that conversion. But he took that yoke and he handed it over to the Lord. He took up on the yoke of Jesus. He didn't carry that yoke all of his life. It's a terrible thing that I did. I imprisoned men and women for the cause of Christ, and I thought I was doing God's service. Man, how could I have been so blind? How could I have done such a silly thing? And he could have been stuck in that right there and never accomplished the things that he did for the Lord. So don't carry the yoke of your past with you. We have to let bygones be bygones. When Jesus forgives us, and the Word of God teaches us this, he forgives us, and put into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Yeah. And those sins aren't remembered against us anymore. Yes, we can remember them, but we have to have that faith in God. He doesn't hold that against me anymore. It's not against my charge. I don't have a debt to pay for that sin now, because it's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Don't carry your past around with you. Don't let that be your yoke. Amen. That's the yoke in life. Just the past. There's many people that are living in the past. Something has happened in the past. And I've heard it said this way. And they quit living on that day. There's been tragedies that have happened. There's been deaths that has happened. There's been suicides that have been happened. Terrible things that have happened. And people quit living on that day. In other words, they just can't get over it. They can't get past it. But don't carry that kind of a yoke in your life. Whatever it is in your past, it is wanting to hang on to you. It just keeps coming up and coming up. Amen. You need to put that to sleep in the name of Jesus. Amen. And take on the yoke of Jesus, because he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's a good life that he wants you to live. And another yoke that people carry around with them is this yoke of pleasure. This yoke of pleasure. They just live and let live. And they don't have time for God. Today's Sunday. I'm sure the local golf course was awfully busy today. And I'm sure people today did the things that they wanted to do. Pleasureful things they're looking for. Going out for entertainment things. Not saying that these things are wrong, but it can become a yoke to you where it just has you by the nose and it just leads you around. You're going from one pleasure to another. Don't let that be a yoke. Amen. Another thing that can be a yoke to us is our possessions and the things that we have. If I could only have this and this and this. But there's a responsibility that goes along with this and this and this. And it gets us, and it's a yoke to us, and it becomes a burden to us, and it becomes a heavy load to us. Amen. And many people, the yoke that they're bound up with today, and I hope nobody in here is, and if you are, you can talk to me. I can try to help you and find you some information. But a yoke a lot of people are carrying today is credit card debt. Credit card debt. That's a heavy yoke to carry. In the yoke of not necessarily even credit card debt, but the yoke of being in debt is like a heavy burden upon you. It just is. The Lord helped us at about close to 5 years ago now. I was able to get our house paid for and got that taken care of, so I didn't have those house payments anymore. And I'll tell you what, if you ever experience paying off a loan, it's like you can't explain it, but it's like inside of you, like a weight is gone. You can just breathe so much easier. Like, wow, that feels good. And so there's people that are bound in debt, amen. And the reason they do that, they get into that yoke because they think that things are going to bring them happiness. Amen. By doing the things, we are bound to them. Amen. If we keep doing these things, we are bound to them. So don't be bound in your past. Don't be bound in pleasure and possessions. Amen. Don't be bound by debt. So in Jesus' day, there was something different that people were bound to. And we have to be careful of this because it even happens in our day. In Jesus' day, people were bound to a religious system. A religious system. And it said they added like 20,000 different things to the law of God than what God already wanted in the Old Testament. There's plenty there. What he expected of the Jewish people. What he wanted them to do. But the religious people, by the time Jesus came around, they had added like 20,000 other things to it that you had to do if you were going to be a righteous person. In Matthew chapter 23, I'm just going to turn over there because I'm almost there. Matthew chapter 23, and I'm going to look at verse 4, and it says this, and he's talking about these religious leaders, what they did to the people back in that day. For they bind heavy burdens, made grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And so they were bound. Jesus said the religious leaders, what they were doing was putting a heavy spiritual bondage on the people. And they made God so complicated that no one could get to him. God was so complicated, no one could get to him. And Jesus comes along in Matthew, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And the last verse is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They were thinking, what's this man talking about? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And this religious system that they were in, there was nothing easy about it. It was heavy. It was burdensome. They couldn't do it. They became critical of each other, and they would point fingers at each other. One was more righteous than the other. It was a mess that they were in. So trading one yoke for another. The Pharisees had a hard time understanding that. Now I'm going to take this religious yoke that I have, and I'm going to trade it in for another that could help me. This, how could that help me if I put on another yoke? And so the Pharisees said, bear it all yourselves. You carry all the weight. That's what the Pharisees were saying. Make sure that you're not thinking like a Pharisee today. You're carrying all the weight yourself. You don't cast anything upon Jesus. Casting all your cares upon him because he careth for you. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. That doesn't apply to me. I'm just going to carry it for myself. And so what happens? In the world that we're living today, people will collapse under the burden of life. Amen. This burden of life is too heavy for anyone to carry alone. The burden of life, just the general happenings of life, and Jesus knew it was going to be this way. And so he's saying, you come to me, you come now to me, and he says, put my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You're going to find peace and rest for your souls. But people collapse under the burden of life, amen, because it's too heavy to bear alone. People collapse under the burden of life. Why is it that it comes to a point that a person takes their own life? Because they collapsed under the burden of life. Things are coming from this angle. Things are coming from that angle. Things are coming from behind. Things are coming from before, from underneath, from above. And I just can't take it anymore. I'm going to collapse under this pressure. Amen. If you find yourself in that situation tonight, or know anybody that's in that situation, they need to come to him, because his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and you will find peace and rest for your souls. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. He said, come over and carry my yoke. Come and rest in me. And Jesus, in reality, what he was saying is, I want to carry this weight for you. The weight of this world that's upon your shoulders, the weight of life that is upon your shoulders. Jesus says, come to me. I want to carry it for you. I want you to enjoy life. You don't have to carry this weight. He knew it was a terrible, heavy weight. And also in verse 29, he made an interesting statement. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said, learn of me. He didn't say, learn about me. There's many people that know a lot about Jesus today. We can study the scripture. They can tell you a lot about Jesus. But he didn't say, know about me. He said, learn of me. There's a big difference. Knowing about Jesus, amen, knowing about Jesus isn't going to change you. It isn't going to make your burden heavier or lighter to carry because you know about Jesus. That isn't going to change you. But knowing Christ in a real way, that will change you. And we were talking about that this morning. Amen. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your spirit, giving it your all. He's your zeal. He's your passion. He's all I want. He's all I need. I want him in my life. And so knowing Christ in a real way, that will change you. Amen. Yes. We need to know Jesus in a real and interpersonal way. Don't be mistaken. Well, I know about Jesus. That's not enough to know about Jesus. Amen. I know about a lot of people, but I don't really know them. You have to really know Christ. Amen. You have to really know Christ in a personal way. Amen. Jesus was saying, learn what my nature is. Learn how I would settle situations. Learn how I face things. And Jesus faced things when he was here upon this earth. They came after him on more than one occasion to try to take his life. I know I made mention of this just perhaps it was last week. And they took his cousin, his first cousin, John the Baptist, and they chopped his head off, had his head removed from him. You talk about a heavy weight to bear. Amen. He was the forerunner of Christ, and look what they did to him and the accusations that they made against Jesus, the hate that they had for him. Yet he didn't collapse under the load. We have to learn what the nature of Jesus is. And what is the nature of Jesus? He says, I am meek and lowly. He is meek and lowly in heart. And what does that mean? He's gentle and humble. So meek and lowly, so humble and holy. All I ask is to be like him. Amen. I'm meek and lowly in heart. The creator of all things that we see out there. Amen. In this creation, in this universe, everything that we see, including man. God is the creator of all things. But he is gentle and he is humble. You think about that. He spoke the world into existence. He could speak right now, and this building that we're in could just dissolve. It could be gone. He has power to do anything that your mind can imagine. But he is gentle and he is humble. He doesn't come proud saying, I am God and this is the way it's going to be and you're going to listen to me. And he has a big club in his hand and he's just stepping on people and knocking them around. He doesn't come that way. And we need to learn of him. We need to be gentle and humble. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. Come to me and I will give you rest from your struggles. Struggles of life. They're hard to carry. They wear us out. They wear us down. That's why people go on vacations. People that don't even serve God, they go on vacations. They need a break from reality. They need a break from the routine. They need a break from the struggles of life. But when they go back, the same struggles are there. And Jesus says, if you come to me, he'll give us a true rest from those struggles. Those same struggles will be there, but we're going through it with ease. And our sister testified to that tonight in so many words. She said, some of the things that I faced since I went back to work, it just seemed to go so much better. Why? Maybe she didn't realize it, but she's learning to cast her cares upon Jesus. She's learning that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's not all worked up about those things. Amen. He come to me and he says, I'll give you rest from your struggles. Amen. I'll give you rest from your sorrows. I'll give you rest from your sins. And God doesn't, here's something God doesn't do. He doesn't abuse us and he doesn't condemn us. We are so quick to condemn ourselves. We are so quick to condemn somebody else if they do something that we don't fully understand or agree with. But thank God, God's not quick to condemn us. Amen. He doesn't abuse us. And he said to that woman, and I believe that was the one, maybe it wasn't, it could have been a different story, but the woman that was taken in adultery, I think it was her, and they were looking around, and he says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. You go away from here, I'm not going to condemn you for what you did, but you just go from here, and you don't sin anymore, and everything's going to be okay. Amen, he's a gentle and he's a humble Savior. Amen, and he will help you out. And he will give you rest. That's his promise right here in this great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He will give you rest if you take his yoke upon yourself. You have to take his yoke upon you. You have to learn the nature of Jesus. Learn to handle things the way that God would handle things. Learn to lay back and just rest in Jesus. Almost acting like you don't have any cares. People will look at you. They'll be amazed. How can you be so peaceful and calm with all of these things that you're facing? Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because I took it on to Jesus. Amen. We have to learn to do that. Learn of me, he said. Learn my nature. Amen. What's God's nature is to be blessed and to bless others. Amen. We learn God's nature. We're blessed and we bless others. Amen. We also need to be weak and meek and lowly. Amen. We need to be meek and lowly. The hurting world, and I'm coming into a closing here real quick. The hurting world in which we're living in needs help. We have the answer. We have the answer for this world. People, look at the mess this world is in. And my son is very vocal about it. He says, people need to rise up and do this or that. What people need is this Jesus that we have. That is what will make a difference in their life. That is what will make a difference in this world. The hurting world needs our help. And we have the answer. But instead of taking the answer to them, what do? The fiery darts from the devil come. The discouragement comes. The defeats come. Things happen that we don't understand, and then we begin to focus on ourselves. And then I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I can't do this, I can't make it. Then we come to the church, and they sing that song, I know that I can make it, Jesus put it in my will. And we try to encourage ourselves, but we're doubting ourselves all alone. Why? We need to come to Jesus. He says, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and he said, this is his promise, I will give you rest. And we need to focus on bringing people to Jesus. That's where our focus needs to be. My focus isn't on, woe is me, everybody's against me, nobody likes me, the whole world's against me, the whole weight of this world is upon my shoulders, and the whole weight of my world, the world that you live, is upon my shoulders. Instead of looking at that, amen, because if you do that, you're focusing on yourself. You need to focus on bringing people to Jesus. And then the scripture I started out with, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight, God, that we will do this. We will bring our burdens and our cares to